Welcome to another eBizQ podcast.
Hello, this is eBizQ's Peter Schoff, and today I am speaking with Pierre Fricke, the director of SOA products for the JBoss division of Red Hat. Today we're going to discuss SOA and government, and we will also be covering this subject much more in depth in the SOA in Action virtual conference coming next week. Now, first of all, Pierre, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks.
So how is government dealing with the implementation of SOA?
So the government's faced with, and the government's actually multiple levels of government. There's federal level governments, and not just the United States. There's federal level governments. There's state and local level governments, and so forth. The federal government, you know, is broken up in civilian and military. Both sides of the federal level governments have opportunities and challenges associated with operating their government agencies in terms of improving efficiency. If one thing that we see in government at that level is there's tons and tons of paper and tons of documentation. And SOA is an ideal way to automate the workflows, integrate the data, handle the dealing with this paperwork in a more integrated and automated fashion. And keep in mind, when I'm using the term SOA here, I'm not just talking about web services-based SOA. I'm talking about this current generation, next generation SOA, where you can integrate file transfers, you can integrate SOAP and web services, JMS, you can integrate various scripting languages, services, rules-based services, all kinds of things. It's a very flexible, event-driven SOA is what I'm talking about. And the government really can take advantage of this because of the breadth of it, the ability to integrate its various applications and information and then automate the workflows so that government can become more efficient and more responsive to voters. And at the state and local level, it's a little bit different. The state and local level, they have some of these same challenges, particularly as it revolves around changing regulations associated with benefit programs, whether it be unemployment. You know, we keep seeing these extensions on unemployment. There's welfare type things. There's various motor vehicle, real estate property tax things, a lot of things that are in change in a state of flux. And to the extent that the state and local government can integrate its IT applications that support these things using SOA, which gives them the ability to respond to change more rapidly, they'll be better off and have spend less money over time. Even though they have to spend an upfront investment, they'll spend less money over time operating their government agency. And it's particularly important at the state and local level because unlike the federal level, they can't print money. And in fact, a lot of state and local governments are sort of gravitating not just to SOA, but to subscription-based SOA driven by open source.
Now, so you think about government, you definitely think that with SOA, some of the greatest rewards await government. But also, you think, you know, some of the biggest challenges would also be in implementing SOA with government. Can you discuss some of these challenges?
Yeah, so we start talking about some of these stovepipe applications that support their various agencies that have to work together, for example, in a homeland security type environment. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the government hasn't published externally what they do in homeland security in detail, but we certainly know that our whole operations on that front cover, you know, internal intelligence, foreign intelligence, various other types of domestic and foreign programs, the CIA, the NSA, these agencies, and they have to work together. And the way they're going to have to work together is to integrate their siloed application and data sets such that these things can be brought together to serve new purposes and deal with new threats and new opportunities as they present themselves to our homeland security agents and intelligence programs. So that's probably the biggest thing. It's really the integration of application assets and IT assets across organizations is where SOA can bring greater flexibility.
Now, you sort of also discussed this, but when I think of government, I think of all the old legacy systems and applications. So how do you overcome all of these legacy issues?
Any organization that's had any length of tenure, and certainly our government's been around a long time, has built up a sort of a layered IT infrastructure, some of which could be 30 and 40 years old, or God help us, maybe even older than that in some cases. Some of that stuff can be retired, but a lot of it can't, or they don't want to. And actually, a lot of it, particularly when you get to mainframe level COBOL applications and, you know, forward from that point on, a lot of those things can actually be reused with standards-based interfaces based on web service wrappers around the types of things that you want to access. So you can publish some of these things as web services, and they can be reused in multiple business processes and or government processes and made a lot more accessible to government agencies and people like that that have to use these mainframe type assets. Another way, of course, is, again, a next generation enterprise service bus that's not just web services focused, but can also do old EAI and bring the application integration techniques into an SOA using adapter technology and plugging it into an ESB. You can also do that, and the government can take advantage of that capability, you know, marrying sort of the past integration technologies with present and being prepared for the future.
Excellent. Now, can you give me like a real use example of SOA being implemented in the government?
Oh, yes, there's a bunch we could talk about, but let's talk about a state situation that I think one of my JBoss colleagues will be talking about in more detail next week, where the government agency has to deal with various law enforcement type issues. As we were talking about, they've got lots of siloed applications. They've got lots of siloed data sets. The way these things are brought together to deal with regulation or deal with new laws or new programs or whatever it might be, new situations, is difficult if you're not using service-oriented architecture. If these things are hard-coded point-to-point or worse, these things are being integrated manually with paper, which causes all kinds of errors and problems and slow responsiveness. If you can integrate these things using an SOA, taking advantage of EAI technology in the adapter case to the mainframes, or wrapping some of those things with web services in an SOA type integration scenario. In some cases, they're comfortable doing one EAI in some places and SOA type integration in another place, depending on performance characteristics, skill sets, and what kind of code they're talking about on these legacy assets. They need to bring these things together. And then they can codify workflows and business processes in something like our JBPM or BPEL, Business Process Execution Language, to manage the workflows such that they have an audit trail. They can drive the work a lot faster, reduce expenses. And this is at state level where states need to save money. The states are going to have to leverage this technology to save more money and be more responsive to the voters who are becoming angrier and angrier as services get cut and taxes get raised. Government's going to be under, these state and local governments are going to be under pressure to respond more rapidly with dealing with crime, moving things to the court system, stuff like that. And SOA can certainly help a lot.
Good to know. Now, what do you see for the future of SOA in government?
I think we're just getting started. You know, SOA has been around in its current form since the birth of web services, the beginning of this decade. It's matured from just a bunch of web services into a more formal SOA architectural approach that can handle the integration scenarios we've been talking about. By mid-decade, we're starting to see we're past the early adopter phase. There certainly are early adopters in government that forged the way over the last 5 years. Now we're starting to see it expand. And we're seeing it also expand toward open source, I think particularly at the state and local level, but also at the federal level, and particularly with the new administration that's come in with President Obama at the federal level. There's a real focus on reducing costs, both in terms of leveraging SOA techniques and integration and removing pain points, manual pain points and integration pain points, but also getting a high quality experience from your IT vendor and using open source to reduce costs and the subscription model, which does that as well. So I think we're seeing a lot more this downturn, particularly at the state and local level, but now the federal government's looking at reducing expenses as well. They're really looking at the subscription model open source and now see that it's coming to its own and now is ready for prime time.
Excellent info, Pierre. I want to remind everyone listening to tune into the SOA in Action Virtual Conference, which is coming this October 28th and 29th. Thank you so much for joining me today, Pierre.
Thank you.
This has been an eBizQ podcast.